Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I'm going to read a verse in Matthew also, Matthew 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Simple message tonight, very simple. This common sense, basic kindergarten stuff for a Christian. 1 Peter 3:9. Bible said, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. But that's what everybody does, isn't it? Pretty much. That's the way we live. An old habit of just striking back. Just giving, you know, we live by that Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Did you ever study that out? Jesus said that's what they said of old time. You know, that's the way it was back then. And if you go back and study that out, that's not really what... Everybody's interpreted that wrong for years and years. But I say unto you, if somebody smites you on one cheek, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other. Not smite them back. No. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. Basic thing about being a Christian. You're different than everybody else. That ye should inherit a blessing. Oh, there. Now I finally finished the verse. We're called to that. When Jesus talks about counting the cost of being a Christian, counting the cost of following Him, that's part of it right there. You gotta be a different kind of person. You got to change up the way you've always done. All right. Now, we're not to do unto others as they do unto us. Some people have really misunderstood the golden rule. It's do unto others before they do unto you, or as they do unto you. That's the way most people understand it. That's not the way it is. As ye would that others should do unto you. That's what you treat others like you would like to be treated. Simple. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That's everything that really matters about morality. And don't treat somebody else like you would not want to be treated. Simple. It's just so simple. You children understand that, don't you? You do unto others. You treat other people like you want them to treat you. Now, our natural tendency is to give the evil back to them so they'll know what it feels like. Yes, sir. Because they deserve it and they've got it coming. We're the judge, jury, and the executioner in every situation. We believe they deserve it. Nobody believes in judging nowadays. Isn't that funny how that is? Nobody believes in judging, but it's pretty universal practice here, what I just said. This is the way everybody does. Most everyone feels like they have the liberty and the wisdom and the right to determine what other people have said or done wrong and what their punishment needs to be. That's from a little child all the way up through the adults. You know, we feel like that people shouldn't get away with stuff. Like on the highway, you know, when you're jostling around. You see somebody coming through there. What do you do when you're on the, like up there on 270 in St. Louis and all this mess and somebody comes all the way up through there like that? What do you think? What do you say? Do you look forward to laughing when he's plastered on a wall down here somewhere? He got what he needed. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. It's so ingrained in us. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get across. It's so ingrained in our first response, in our mind. And that's where we got to deal with it. Yes. We might learn to be, to restrain ourselves and restrain our mouth and restrain our reaction outwardly. But what is it inwardly? You know, that's what I'm working on myself about. It ought to stop way before that. This me not doing or saying anything, that's not good enough if I think it. First. Something's got to change at the source. And so that's what we're talking about here tonight. So this is the way of the world. And all the world behaves this way. That's why there's wars. That's why there's war. And always has been. What is all that about over there? Same thing every other war has always been about. It's just hatred and prejudice and greed and grudges and, that pretty well sums it up right there. And there's no need. But when somebody transgresses, that causes a war. You know, I'm just saying this, but if Russia had just marched in and they hadn't fought, well, there wouldn't be no war, would there? Takes two parties to have a war. Should they have done that? No, I ain't saying they should have done that. But I'm just saying that now, if Russia stops tomorrow and pulls out, what are the Ukrainian people going to think about the Russians? Have they won their hearts? Have they broke down the walls between the two countries? No, no. There's a lot to pay for. From the Ukrainian side. We were talking the other day. It comes up pretty often, but you know, the world doesn't really believe in forgiveness, and they don't know what it is. And they don't believe it's possible. They're just like the Pharisees. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, you just don't understand forgiveness if you got that kind of an attitude and understanding about it. If we're made in the likeness and image of God, and if, like you were talking this morning, Gary, about that's what we're being brought into, and that's the whole work of God, and that's what the church is about, and meeting together and being in the fellowship of the saints and all that, it's to bring us into the image, into the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, to the image of Christ. That's what He's working on in all of us. And so, the way of the world, the reaction to evil is evil. Now, what we see in that verse, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. We're called to bless and not curse. Even if they curse us, we're to bless them. The reaction to railing is railing. Now that's the natural way, the carnal way, the way of man without God.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it is. We need to face that fact. This is ungodly. You don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good.
That's right.
A soft answer turneth away wrath.
Yes.
It really does. A harsh word, an attack with words, does not turn away wrath. It stirs up wrath. Christians are not of this world. And their reactions are to be different because God has commanded us so. Well, that's true. But not only that, but God should have done a work in your life if you are a true Christian about this matter. I've known people who were real brawlers before they were saved and had a mouth on them that wouldn't quit. But God fixed that.
Yes.
He fixed it deep down in them.
Yeah.
Not just right here where it comes out, but deeper down. To where they don't think that way anymore. They don't reason that way anymore. People excuse themselves. A lot of people who call themselves Christians excuse themselves for their quick reactions. You know, rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Evil means injury, harm. It means something bad. You're doing something bad to somebody. You know, rendering evil for evil. That means you give it back to them. If they can dish it out, they ought to be able to take it. Well, the only good that does is they see that they don't like it when it's coming their way. So it ought to wake them up to realize, do unto others as you would that others should do unto you, do unto them also likewise. It's true for everyone. The immediate carnal response is to dish it back. Answer back sharply. We think it's witty.
Yeah.
We think we're smart. It's a mental game contest to outmaneuver the other one. Cast the biggest insult. I mean, tell them what for. I hear so many people talking like, "I told them what for." Oh, you just think you did. You never win that way. Never, never, never. You never win with words. You may shame somebody, you may argue them down, but they'll come back and get you later. Somehow. That's just the way it is. So that immediate carnal response is to dish it back. But, and that's true for everybody. No one may think themselves able to do otherwise because they're... temper is shorter than others. You know, and what I'm saying there is you don't have an excuse just because you got a short temper. I've heard that through the years too. Well, my mama was Irish. Red-headed Irish woman had a short temper, so that's why I'm that way too. Can't help it. Baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. If she was, then she taught you a bad example, and you need to get rid of that. Need to stop it. We can stop anything we want to stop. We can give up anything we want to give up. They talk about addictions, and I understand physical addictions and all of that. But, you know, if you just stop putting that bottle to your mouth, you'll stop being a drunkard. Now, that's the way out of it. You got to stop it. You got to stop. And it's true of every other sin and vice. You have to stop. This is one of those things that's not an object. It's a behavior. It's a habit that we've formed in our mind of thinking. And that's why we react and do the things we do. Do evil to other people. Hurt other people just because they hurt us. No. Everybody has that same inclination, but some are more self-disciplined than others, and they don't blow off immediately. They go for a while, and then they blow up. Railing means, here's what railing means. It means clamoring with insulting language, uttering reproachful words. So should that ever come out of a Christian's mouth? I mean, if we're following Christ, if we're Christ-like, if we're being made into His image, where is the place where we should be? Let me read it again. Clamoring with insulting language and uttering reproachful words. And the point is, just because they did something wrong to us. Jesus had some rough things to say to certain people. I mean, He even called them vipers, serpents, children of hell, children of the devil. He said those things. Yes, He did. But it wasn't because they had insulted Him. It was because that's exactly what they were. But when they drove nails in His hand, did He speak evil toward them? Did He respond to them in any way when they spit in His face? Did He threaten them? Did He express any kind of evil toward them? Or clamoring? Not at all. No. You see the difference? Words of, it means expressing reproach, insulting as a railing accusation. 2 Peter chapter 2. Words affect us almost like being smitten physically. Words hurt more than it hurts if they punch you right in the nose. No, they can't. And they do. Cruel words. There's a poem I found in my mom's stuff, and I remember her having that poem, but... Yep. Careless words may kindle strife. Cruel words may wreck a life. Boy, that's so true. Some words affect us that way. We're quicker to strike back with words than we are with our fists.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, that's... I won't go there. Many more people are skilled at railing with words than are skilled at fighting with their fists. Ain't that the truth? A lot of people just all mouth. Just all mouth. Bullies are that way. They're all mouth. But when it comes down to the real deal, then they'll back up, see? They're trying to hurt people with words. You know, isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame that husbands and wives would hurt one another with words? That children, brothers and sisters would hurt one another with words? You know, that anybody would. Why would you hurt a stranger with words? How much evil do we really do without really taking it seriously? We laugh at people because of the way they look or because of something about them. We make fun of people. We value people according to what they've got to offer, really. We put them all in categories of value and esteem. And then we treat them accordingly in this matter here. If you respect and honor somebody, you won't rail on them. And you won't speak evil to them or of them. Isn't that true? Think about it. If you love them, if you honor them, you won't do them that way. Why would you do that to somebody you love? Not rendering evil for evil. He's talking about Christians among themselves. But also it applies to those without also. Because this is how they judge us, really. Do you know what it does to your Christian testimony if you rail on somebody out there? You know what? I've seen so-called Christians do this all my life. Now they'll go in a restaurant and they'll rail on the waitresses. They'll rail on the manager. They'll go in a place of business and cause a big ruckus. Do they ever do that down there, Gary? Yeah, you betcha. They're known in those place of businesses for their ugly way of communicating and solving problems and getting things done. Some of the worst customers are people who claim to be Christians. And I think that is terrible.
Yes, sir.
They need to go to church and hear something like this once in a while. We all need to be reminded that that is not Christ-like. And that's what we're here to try to do, is learn, Gary, how to be more like Jesus. That's what Gary's talking about in Sunday school this month. Learn of Jesus. Learn of Him. Learn what He's like and go and do likewise. Following Christ. A disciple of Christ is a follower and a learner. Learner of what? Learner of Christ. The more we know about Him and the more we know Him, the more we'll act like Him in our dealings with other people. He's our example. He was the perfect one. He dealt with every situation and every person on this earth in His short earthly life, just like He wants us to. It's like He designed for the human race to be. What if everybody just did like Jesus? Well, there wouldn't be any wars. And there wouldn't be any fighting. And there wouldn't be any strife. And there wouldn't be all this ugly things between everybody. Words are quicker. I'll get it out in a minute. We're quicker to strike back with words than we are with our fists. Many people are skilled at railing with words that aren't skilled at fighting with their fists. So they run their mouths. And that's not pleasing to God when we rail on others or when we rail back on them for railing on us. Pointing out what I'm trying to get across there is there's not a lot of difference. You think it's ugly if somebody just... I mean, I've heard of, and I've almost seen it in church, where they get in a fist fight. I've heard of where a church and the deacons and everybody got in a knockdown, drag out fist fight at church over something going on there. And we all say, what in the world? But then everybody can run their mouth and speak evil, and that's something less than that. No, it's not. Same thing, only you can just see one more clearly, then you can see the other.
It's true.
It's that evil in your heart toward other people. It's that allowance that we make in our heart for that to exist there, to spurn those thoughts, you know, and everything. Evil thoughts. You know, I've mentioned this a few times for the last 2 or 3 years, and I never have gotten around to it, but the Bible, it says, thinketh no evil. Charity. Thinketh no evil. Now, we're not talking about speaking evil. We're talking about thinking no evil. And that really goes to the heart of this whole matter, you see. It's not pleasing to God when we rail on others, or when we rail back on them for railing on us. And then he said, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you're thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Blessing, that means making happy, wishing happiness to, praising or extolling, consecrating by prayer. You put a part of a verse on the bulletin this morning, but it's from back in Numbers, but it said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. You know that verse? Well, that's a verse of blessing. It's a real wonderful verse. But the words and the message of it is like, that's what's supposed to be our attitude of our heart toward other people. Blessing. Wish them well. Wish them happy. Blessed. Mm-hmm. Instead of being happy when they're not blessed. Being happy when they, you know, Bible talks about being happy when you see your enemy fall. Don't rejoice in your heart when you see your enemy fall.
That's right.
It'll displease the Lord. God don't like that at all. We shouldn't be glad at the calamity even of our enemy.
That's right.
We should wish well for them. Wish better. There's so much hatred now over the politics and over everything and religion.
Yes.
Hatred for other people. Just because of the differences in them. People hate other people just because of the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. People hate one another because of their religion, like the Muslims, you know. If you listen to the media and you listen to what's the politics and everything, and you listen to the fanatics on all sides, you'll fall into that cesspool. Do you ever realize that all Muslims are just people? And most of them are just people just like us, just trying to live their life. They're lost in their dark religion, yes. But they don't have any hope, but so does our neighbors all around within rock throwing distance here. But why should we hate? How can you hate them? If you're a Christian, how can you just look and because they're associated with those people, they're your avowed enemy. Doesn't matter. You know, all that mess going over there right now. Russians are the same way. They're just people, just like us, just like everything else. They sit and watch their TV and listen to the propaganda and they hear another story. And they believe it, like most people here do.
Yes, sir.
And they're suffering right now too. I get an email from this forestry outfit that keeps track of all the industry and the prices and all of that. And they were talking the other day about it, how that when all this started, all the sanctions were put on Russia and anybody associated with Russia. So the timber industry, see, a lot of timber, lumber comes out of Ukraine, Belarus, and they got completely cut off. And Russia. So if you're a Russian sawmiller, or a Ukrainian, or a Belarus, what do we call them people?
Belarus.
There you go. I'd have to look it up to see what that was if I heard that. But anyway, they're out of a job. They ain't involved in this war. I mean, they're just trying to make a living. But we just class them. We just class them all in a lump and say we hate those people. They're all our enemy. No. missionaries have a little different view on this, because when you go to another country, it after just a little bit, you realize that they're just people, just like us. They speak a different language. Their skin may be a different color, but they are just like every other human that God, they're just like them. Folks are folks wherever you go, Brother Burns used to say, and that is so true. But we get all this in our way, see? And it comes down to the very level where we live. You know, if somebody belongs to a certain family, or, you know, that is just unchristlike. That's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. And make you, and just so you hear it, at least. We need to hear it. I need to be reminded of it too. This is how a Christian is supposed to respond to evil and railing from others on himself. Blessing. Returning blessing. Contrarywise blessing. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. That's what Jesus said, and then he did it. He did what he said. He lived like he said we should live. So that's how we're supposed to respond to railing on us. But humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. There's a promise given to us from God when we conduct ourselves in this matter, the way he commands us to. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." Refrain your tongue from evil, and what do you got? You'll see good days. We talked about it here a few weeks ago about fools and children talk too much. Remember that? That was just 2-3 weeks ago.
Yep.
And how the children, they start getting in trouble with their mouth just as soon as they learn how to use it a little bit. And it continues the rest of our lives. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Pretty simple. I mean, looks like that would be pretty easy to do if we just wanted to do it. I believe we could break that old habit of just having an evil tongue and a mouth and you thinking evil and speaking evil of everybody. Oh my goodness, there's people I don't even want to be around because that's all I'm going to hear when I'm around them. And I've been around missionaries and I've been around preachers that are the worst that I've ever seen, ever known to do that stuff. I didn't like it, never liked it. I never was comfortable with it. I always thought it was wrong. It's one of the most important keys to being happy in this earthly life. And, you know, joy. It's like we've been talking about joy and happiness. How can there be any joy when joy comes from love? Joy is always preceded by love. How can there be any joy in your life if there's only evil on your tongue?
That's true.
It's one of the most important keys to being happy in this earthly life is not speaking evil. When you find somebody who does not speak evil of others, you'll find a happy person. Think about that a minute. You find somebody that don't speak evil of other people, that just talks good, has something good to say. You have found a person who's happy. What is happy? Blessed. And this is what we're supposed to do, right? But contrarywise, blessing. That's the kind of person we're supposed to be. When people run into us, they're supposed to find a person that don't just speak evil and think evil of everybody else all the time. When you find a person who is habitually speaking evil of others, you'll find an unhappy and a miserable person. That is absolutely the truth. I can see faces. I can name you names. I mean, I know them. They just come to mind. They just float right to the top when I think of that thought. They're the most miserable, unhappy, griping. Nothing can please them. They can't find anything in life to enjoy. And everybody is rotten. And you can't trust anybody. The person who doesn't speak evil of others will be a peaceable person who's easy to get along with. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, he said, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Yes. I think you said, didn't you say that, quote that verse here a while back? Somebody did. Anyways, Romans 14 and verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Now, you're not going to have peace speaking evil of other people. Or giving it back to them. Say, it wasn't my fault. They started it. No, it takes two to... Yes. It takes two to tangle or to tangle too. I mean, it takes two to fight. It takes two to argue.
Yes.
I found out people used to always wanting to argue with me. And I just quit arguing.
Yep.
And I don't have to argue with anybody anymore.
Exactly.
Found out if I don't argue, there's no argument. And I don't spend hours and worrying about it and laying there in the bed after I'm trying to go to sleep thinking the more I could have said, and I just don't have to worry about all that. Peace. Seek peace and ensue it. Yes, sir. The Lord is on the side of those who do righteousness. And he's against all those who do evil. Mark that right there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And the whole Old Testament is full of verses like that. God's against those who do evil. He's with those who do right. Well, I just want... I want God to be with me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to be on God's side.
Amen.
I don't want to be a traitor. I don't want to leave any room for other people to be doubting where I stand with God or against Him. God's always watching the righteous, and His ears are always open to their prayers. But God has His face against them that do evil. Think about... Put a picture in your mind of that right there. A smile, a careful watching, or a face that's set against you. You know what a face that's set against you is, don't you? We say as much with our face as we do with our mouth, I'll tell you right now. And how about this morning, the little children watching your face to see a crack in that seriousness. If you what they did was cute and you can't hardly hold it, they know. They're reading your heart. They're more than they're listening to your words. And they're doing it through your face. So we know. I know when somebody looks at me, I know if they're against me. I've had dirty looks. You know what that is, don't you? Give you a dirty look. Might as well go ahead and say it. I mean, I know what you're thinking. But I didn't say it, see? I mean, yeah, you did with your face. Anyways, God's always watching. His face is against them that do evil. That's why they avoid Him so much. Those who do evil and rail on others have God as their enemy. Romans 12, verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." I know that this is reaching beyond where most people live in their Christian life and in their walk with God. But we need to learn that God will protect us. That verse is true. I don't have to get even with them. I don't have to teach them a lesson. That doesn't work anyway. God will take care of it. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Avenge not thyself. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." That verse is saying, I know it makes you mad, but just don't react in your anger. give place. Just push it. Just hold your taters. God will take care of it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. When we take vengeance ourselves, we're jumping out in front of God. He wants to do it himself. Because he can do it with true wisdom and with true love and long-suffering and patience and the love of God. He can turn their evil. He can bring good out of their evil. God can do that. He can bring good out of evil. He does that all the time. As long as we keep our hands off of it. And as long as we keep our mouth off of it. And let God do what miraculous things can happen. You live long enough, you experience that. You know, I've had people that hated me and got saved and everything changed. Yes, and part of it was because they hated me, so God dealt with them through all the circumstances. I mean, that's just the way it was. If I would have reacted to their hatred for me when it happened, probably it would have doomed their souls. It would have put bars on the way. You know, a brother offended is harder to be won than harder as his contentions are as the bars of a castle. That's what I'm trying to say. He'll do that. God can do that. When God judges evil, it works much more effectively. Our vengeance only makes people more angry and offended and determined to get even with us again. So God's way is for us to do good to others, even when they do evil to us. I told you it's a simple message. I think the message is, I've stayed right on the point here tonight. Romans 12, 20 and 21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what is what we're supposed to do?
Feed him.
If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, I know that the United States is not a Christian nation anymore, really. But there's been times in the past, and the influence of the Word of God and the people of God on this country, there's such a difference you cannot deny. How did the Japanese treat their prisoners of war in World War II? How did the Germans? The Germans weren't as bad as the Japanese. But, yes, how did we treat the ones we captured? Do you know at the end of World War II, if you know any kind of history, if you studied that, when Germany was caving in, I mean, the end was in sight, the people in the East were moving as hard as they could to get captured by the Americans.
Yes.
The German soldiers I'm talking about. They were trying to get to the West because they knew they would be treated better by the Americans than by the Russians. Because the Russians had blood in their eyes. Boy, the Germans had treated them very badly. And the Russians had lost over 20 million people in the war. And the Germans had been merciless and cruel. And it was time for vengeance. Where did they run? They ran to the Americans. Because the Americans had blown them to kingdom come. But they had compassion. They didn't treat their enemies like the others did. Where did that kind of thinking come from? Did you ever read accounts of the Civil War? Same thing. Of course, it was our own people, brother against brother, and all of that. But there was compassion for the enemy. Well, that don't come from normal, carnal, godless people. That comes from God. And learning of Christ and being like him. So, that's the way we overcome evil with good. If your enemy's hungry, what do? Feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him to drink. We'll just be so much better off if we'll only listen to God's counsel here. Verses 13 and 14, 1 Peter 3, 13 and 14. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled.
Right.
By refraining from doing evil and always doing good to others, we lessen the chances that they would want to hurt us. There's so many stories that we could tell here. You remember the story of Darlene Rose, and she was at prisoner of war in that Japanese camp, and how that Japanese commander, whatever he was, at the camp. But she was able to witness to him. And in later years, I mean, if the story is true and right the way I got it, she told it. You know, the man got saved. A Japanese commander. Godless, you know. Cruel. But her... and the key to it all was her spirit toward them, even though they were starving her and treating her like they were. Give me a second. But here we go. Where's my bottle? I better say water. Somebody listen to that. What in the world? I just got two more lines to read. If I could just. But if we do suffer for doing good, we're still going to be happy as our reward. We're going to have happiness as our reward here and now. Life will be better. If you're going to live good days, see good days here on earth, refrain your mouth from speaking evil.
Yes.
Even if they deserve it. Even if you've got a good excuse to, good reason to. Even if somebody needs to say something, it ain't you. It ain't me. Just refrain your mouth from speaking evil. You'll see good days. And we have no reason to fear because we know God's watching and listening. And He'll judge the wicked and He'll care for His own. Amen. So that's it. That's just the way. Simple thing. Starts at home. And it ought to be that way at home. It ought to be that way at work. It ought to be that way at the grocery store, the restaurant, the gas station.
Amen. Right.
Wherever we're at, mixing with people, they need to know us as somebody. Don't just eat everybody up with our tongue wherever we go.
Yes,
amen. All right, bow with me. Father, thank you for the blessing of the Word of God and the good instruction you've given us here. Please help us all, myself included, as much as anybody else, Lord, to guard our tongue and guard our heart. And like the psalmist, put a watch on my mouth so that we don't speak evil. And but that contrariwise that we bless. And when people see us coming, they'll be glad and not dreading to hear what we're going to say now. Help it to be, Lord, such that even when people do us evil, we don't respond in kind, but we respond with grace and long-suffering and forgiveness. We respond with blessing instead of cursing. Help us remember these things, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This thing greatly lacking in professing Christians now. You know, I've just kind of removed myself out of all the politics and everything, but that's one of the things I see in this modern kind of patriotism, they call it. Man, it's more hatred than it is anything else. It's more evil toward others than it is anything else. The thing that unites them is their hatred for them. And man, I've got to the place, can't do that. Can't be a part of that. You know, these rallies and stuff, and it's all built around just about lost in all of the melee, isn't it? Real Christianity. All right. I'll hush. Amen. It's a lot better to live like Christ.
Yes, amen.
You have good days, you know. See good days. And love life. Just a lot better way to be. Amen.